Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Up Sessions podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Mark Katrovsky. I'm here with Sergey Katrovsky, two brothers that run Mira Coffee Roasters. I've been running it for the last 4 years now, just past 4 years. And it's been quite the journey. It's been fun, exciting, a huge learning experience. But in my opinion, personally, I would not trade it for anything.
That's right. That's right. I was gonna say something else and then I caught my mouth. I'm like, I'm not gonna hoop and holler.
Okay.
I was like, but that's right. No, 100%. Okay. I think it's also exciting and dynamic in every single way. Like, I mean, I remember in the beginning, like when we just opened up and we went and did that eagle watching thing and we brewed beer coffee that. For yeah. the first time.
That was like, right.
That was before we launched any bags. We were just roasting Dalian coffees, buying green, like before Mir was launched officially. Yes. And we went and did that little trip. And that was an iconic time. It was a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So much has learned. I look back and I'm like, I wasn't completely ignorant.
Yeah.
But man, yeah. I wish there were so many things that I did know that I do know now that would have made the last 4 years, I guess, so much more further along. But you can't really, you know, You don't know what you don't know. You always can be further along. Exactly.
So there's a difference between being like, quote unquote, like, maybe this is the wrong word, but like stupid. Like, I'm sorry, that's probably a bad word. Or being ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And sometimes you know that you don't know this and you kind of ignore the fact of like, oh, I probably need to learn this.
Yeah.
You know? So, and there's a dose of a little bit of both, you know?
Yeah. That's just the. Yeah. The process of anything, not just, you know, business related, but I think it's also why we started even this podcast to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't talk about it recently very much, but it's really just being like, hey, cool. You can literally go back 140 plus episodes and literally see not only is that progression documented, which is like iconic, like, to know that maybe like 20 years in the future, I'm going to be able to listen to this and be like, this is all just documented stories, but also the fact that like, these are things that we wish somebody else sat us down and told us.
And or even questions we had.
Yeah.
Like not 100%. A lot of answers.
Yeah. And I think that's what, I don't know. That's why, literally that's why we do this. And I think, I hope that that's why it's maybe beneficial to people. Like, again, stuff like this, I literally wish somebody literally just told me. And the fact that, like, every week you can sit down, throw your AirPods in, go out for a jog, or, you know, like, you're warming up the roastery yourself. Somebody from, literally from Spokane, who roasts for Indaba, reached out to us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know. Oh, dude, the folks of Indaba, that's dope, dude.
He sent us some coffee, so we'll have
him on the pod. Really?
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, yeah, I listen to it when I'm warming up the roastery. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. But you, no matter where you are, you know, it's like 30 minutes about-ish that you can throw in, you know, your headphones and listen to this weekly. That's the hope. So anyways, that all being said, that's semi-related to what we're going to be talking about today. Yeah. But don't want to go any further without any batchy, because nothing like some good batchy. Yeah. So. I still like that gunmetal gray on your Hasami mug more than...
I have two.
Yeah, that's
excellent. I have three Hasami mugs now.
I just bought one today.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you Old Faithful?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, dude.
It's good.
Juicy. I think this is spot on exactly on what was on my cupping table when I cupped this last.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very, very close.
Yeah.
Still a little fresh. I think this was roasted, what, Monday?
Yeah.
So, this could be tasting probably a little better in a week or so.
What roast is this?
This is the first one.
Yeah.
The brighter one. The
brighter one, yeah. It also measured lighter, right, on the color meter?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that one more, especially when I cupped it.
Me too. had a little more complexity, nuance, more balance.
Right.
Balance, like brightness and bitterness together, more than just being heavy bitterness or, you know. So, yeah. What are you picking up on this?
I think from the start, I like the like zippy acidity in the beginning. It's not zippy in the sense of like it's super, super bright.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of a luscious acidity. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very nice. Coats your palate in a nice way. Mm-hmm. But then I think the aftertaste, or not even the like the lingering like coating on your mouth, like what it tastes like at the end of just the whole drinking experience, it stays there for a long time.
Yeah.
And it, a lot of the time, especially in the cupping, it really reminded me of like creme brulee, like almost like burnt sugar in the best way, slightly like caramely, like, but not, I think there's a lot of bad connotation around that, like burnt sugar. And then that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. It just has that balance that you're talking about where there's like good acidity and then a nice follow-up of or follow-through with sweetness. And like the middle is like this playful dry fruit thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like it's rich. Like it's good.
Yeah. It's 100% everything, all of that. Mm-hmm. I think what I really love is when you can drink a coffee that after you swallow it, the flavor almost just lingers around. I don't know how it works, but it still coats your mouth.
Yeah.
I love that. Like today I had coffee from DAC. Mm-hmm. It was a pink bourbon from Las Perlitas, Colombia. Man, that one is just like you take a drink. It's amazing. You swallow and the flavor just sits in your mouth. And it's like this lovely, I mean, I had a lot of florals, like fruits.
Yeah.
And those coffees are also, I mean, that's just my preference. I really like when that happens. This has that like interesting, like there's like this flavor that still lingers around. It's very pleasant, very nice. Yeah.
I like it. It's punchy in a different way.
Yeah.
That like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's got a lot of flavor.
Yeah. I can see this being actually like, again, this is not espresso roast. It's not going to be espresso roast.
Yeah, quote unquote. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see this being a slammer on espresso. Yep. With espresso and milk, like it'll rip on with milk, but it'll have plenty of complexity.
Yeah.
Plenty of flavor.
For sure. So. Yeah. It's solid. Can't wait to launch it. How far away are we from launch date?
Man, today is May 9th. Mm-hmm. The hope is that April, May, June 1st, we launch some coffees.
Sick.
I don't know. This probably, I don't know. The sooner the better, because we want to get these coffees out to you guys. But that being said, I'm curious, like if you're listening to this podcast, this is just something that crossed my mind the other day. Would you guys be interested in like a very exclusive drop of like a dial, like, a semi-dialed, like nearly there, but not perfectly dialed, that's batch discounted, that has no label, but you're like the first person, like you're part of a group that gets the first access to this coffee. Mm-hmm. Is that something people would even be interested in? I'm just curious. So if you are listening to this on YouTube or anywhere, send us a DM, an email. I'm just very curious.
Yeah.
Because like this batch right here, I would love to give it off to somebody.
Yeah.
We just don't have labels, and because our labels get made across the country.
Yeah.
You know, like if somebody would like, it's just like, cool. I would just want to drink a good coffee.
Right.
Like I would love to
give this away. With no label, no bias.
On it.
We won't even tell you what flavor notes go on there.
Yeah.
You decide.
Yeah. Just forget what you
choose your heard own player.
The last 10 minutes. Yeah. Anyways. It's solid. Mm-hmm. Colombian coffee. Cool. Pink Bourbon. Speaking of 4 years of Running Mirror, you mentioned some interesting stuff before the podcast about kind of the 4 or 5 year mark. If you want to just,
I don't know. Am I accurate when I mentioned that? A common knowledge for most folks that when you open a business, the first 5 years are super challenging, and if you and most businesses fail within the first five years.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen too, personally. Like I've watched people open up businesses and not make it the first year mark. I watched people even open up like very solid ideas, like a Stoked. I was a customer of their product and loved it, and see them like being like, you know, not going to make it. Like,
I'm going to
go back to doing whatever I was doing before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and usually that kind of realization and, or any form of major failure that's detrimental to the business, usually, commonly, happens within the first 5 years. And I think there's validity. It's what you said earlier in the episode, is when you open up a business, you may have some knowledge about running a business, even if you like quote unquote have a degree, right? You have some ideas, but the practicality of operating or even leading, having the vision, like the structure, all of that, the practicality of that is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard. And there's no, I don't think, that's why running businesses is fun. That's why like both you and I love mm-hmm. entrepreneurship. That's why we could probably start millions of businesses mm-hmm. if we wanted to. Because it's like, yeah, the problem solving behind it, we've said that on the podcast a lot, is very enticing.
Like you don't know what you don't know. And it's usually in the beginning, it's usually an experience that is working heavily against you.
Right.
People who, you know, if you've been doing this for like 20 plus years, you're doing things very differently than what you were doing year one. And oftentimes it's the delta in between that is kind of wrecking you. Mm-hmm. And so because you're not as experienced and you're not skilled enough, you have to overcompensate with making way more mistakes, doing the wrong things. You're overcompensating with working too much.
Yes,
and putting in more energy and time because you have to.
Yeah.
Because at your disposal, that's pretty much all you have going for you when you're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, on the flip side, I totally agree that, I mean, that's really enticing to me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just really like problem solving. I like when things are challenging. I like working through those things. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, just like realizing the fact that like, dang, I have no idea how to figure this out, but I'm going to try and do it and I'll figure it out at some point.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like sometimes we say, you know, like if you can hold your breath long enough and try and try and try, you can make it work. Or like the other day I posted on my Instagram about like the law of averages or something like that. The law of averages, which means pretty much like the more times that you have a bat at something, the higher the chances you hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is not to quit. The point is, can you give yourself more time and more chances to be at bat? Because that increases your chances.
Or I think, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but you can also hit a lot of home runs and have a low average. Like in a sense of, am I not catching that? Because like in a sense of, if you only hit home runs once, like every 100 at bats, your average is pretty low. But if you were at bat 10,000 times and no one else was, you hit the most home runs.
Right, right. And it's, and you know, if you just reverse that and realize, hey, if it takes you 100 hits to hit a home run, to hit one home run, you can just do the math and say, how many hits do I need to make to hit 100 home runs? Well, that means I have to do 1,000 hits to get 100 home runs. Like, so the point is not like, will you or will you not?
Yeah.
Just swing more.
I love this metaphor because my mind goes into a lot of questions. Then I'm thinking like, what if you don't get to be at bat?
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
And that's sometimes where you have to ask the questions and even like reevaluating, like, what do you want to do? And like in business and life, like you have to ask those questions because you got to show up to succeed.
Yeah.
So you have to be at bat.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes there's that limiting factor. So like, what do you do?
100%. That being said, like, again, you know, at some point you're going to come to a realization of like, you need to do some reevaluating in your business model and figuring out, do I want to keep running this cafe or not? Do I want to keep running the roastery or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure we've individually reevaluated that for ourselves.
Right.
And for some reason over these years, the conclusion is,
we're still here.
Let's keep doing this.
Let's keep batting.
You know? And so that's kind of, I think, like, there's a few questions I think that are worth asking yourself to see, should I keep doing this or not?
Right. Yeah. And for me, one of the major ones that I ask is I'm reminded of like everything that happened in 2020, COVID, you and I just, you know, opened Mirror, COVID hit. And for us personally, for us, that wasn't a major shift or a pivot. Like we were in the game fresh and we just sent it with what we had. Those classic IG lives every morning, brewing coffee, talking to people, like making connections, you know. Then for a lot of other people that I've talked to, like that was a pivotal moment for them to sit down and be like, okay, why am I running this business? The question of why, like a lot of whys came up. I felt like during that era, and looking at your business and saying like, hey, what are some challenges I'm having in like operations? What are some other opportunities I have? Everyone talks about like 2020 being a year of like people launching a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of that succeeded. We're hitting that mark for to see if it worked, right?
100%.
But a lot of people were like, okay, I'm going to quit this job, or I don't have work at this job. I'm going to start a sewing business. You know what I mean? I'm going to make stamps. Like a lot of people like dove into this idea of like entrepreneurship and quote unquote, like made in USA kind of ideals. So we saw that happen a lot, but it happened on the verge of them seeing like, either I don't have a job or my business is just not doing well. I have to do something about that.
Right.
But yeah, I think the major question around that is then, okay, if you see one thing that you're really passionate about, but your current thing is not like working, there's one way, like you and I talked about this before, like it's either not working, meaning your quote unquote business is not successful, maybe not producing the revenue you need, like, or just not, it's not a flourishing business, right? There's one. You can look at that and be like, okay, my business is not flourishing. What do I do about that? Do I go and get help, right? Do I go, whatever, to like a conference that you need, or hire some people that are going to help take your business? That's one way to look at that and be like, okay, I'm going to do that. Or look at it and be like, okay, I'm actually not like super stoked right now. And actually, like, this isn't hitting the mark for me because across the street, there's an opportunity that I'm continue be enticed by. So it's not necessarily that you have to jump on every, that's not what I'm saying. You don't have to jump on every new opportunity, but you see that and you're looking at your situation and you have to make a call at some point. Do you get help or do you close your doors?
Yeah, 100%. It takes a lot, I think, some introspection and some processing time, because especially I think if you're, you know, a business owner and you're running your cafe, your roastery, whatever it is, importing company, there's so many moving pieces that oftentimes you actually don't have very much time to sit and just think about, is this good? Is this beneficial for me? Is this what I want to do for the long haul? Is it worth committing the next 5 years of my life? Because I've been doing it for the last five. I think I would highly recommend is you do take some time, whether that's on a weekend, even if that's just saying, hey, I'm just not going to go in for work today. Today's just going to be a time for me to go out, you know, take a nice long drive, go grab a coffee, you know, in a neighboring town, and just do some thinking, and asking yourself these questions is what I'm doing working? And if it's working, great, keep hauling, keep crushing. If it's not working, then yeah, reevaluating, like you said, like there's only two options. Either you quit and you do something that's going to be working, or you find help, you find a mentor, you find somebody who's going to help solve the issues that that are causing all the friction in your business. Because hypothetically, that like if your business is not succeeding and not thriving, and that's why you're second thinking it, that means there are some things that need to be fixed. And you may not always know what needs to be fixed, but going to somebody who may have way more experience is way further down the line that can help guide you to fixing those things. That could be a game changer. all of a sudden in a few months, you could be way more in love with your business and kind of rejuvenated by the fact that, God, I fixed this thing that is, that has been bothering me, that is causing me so much friction, both in the business life and then in your personal life.
Right.
But then on the other side is you realizing, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Well, sorry, not that it's not that big of a deal. It may be a good idea for you to just say, I was passionate about this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And all the energy and all the dopamine and all the good feelings that I had starting this 5 years ago that I jumped into it are no longer there.
Exactly.
I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah. And that's like, that's also okay. Like there's no judgment if you're at that spot, because at the end of the day, you're not doing anyone a favor by running a business inadequately.
Correct.
You're not.
Correct.
Like either go out, get some help, figure out what the problems are so that you can find solutions. And maybe you need to come up with new solutions. Maybe you need to hire more people. Maybe you need to fire more people. Like find that out. Because just saying, okay, I'm going to try another day, I'm just going to do the same thing again, maybe something will change, is insane, quite literally.
Right.
Right. So like, just don't. And if at some point you're just like, okay, I'm walking away from this, that's totally fine. But I think a lot of the times, especially in coffee, the reason I see like cafe owners, I know literally people right now that I'm thinking about that have like worked in coffee for a while and are like, oh, you know, I love this bar thing, I love this barista thing, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to, you know, open up a cafe. And we've said this on the podcast and many other episodes, is the fact that, yo, don't rush into this.
Right.
One, if you're working at a cafe, that is free education. Continue to learn.
Yes.
Grow, prosper in that area. And then maybe you can actually like open your own spot. And then you have to ask the question as to why do you need to open your own spot? So that's like either like previous insight. So if you were in a place that you made that decision, okay, I'm going to send it, I'm going to get it. And then you realize like, hey, I'm just not skilled at this. I'm not good at this. Actually, it's much easier for me and I'm actually more alive and I can actually do software engineering in my closet by myself because I actually don't like people. I thought I did. Like that's fine. That is already problem solving, right? So, but what I do like that you said is like, if you go get help and you find that solution and you find whatever that wasn't working and how to fix it, all of a sudden, this new passion reignited for the business. This new passion reignited for just straight up operations. And now all of the people that are in your company, all the people that are working with you, those people are flourishing. And guess what happens? That's when scaling actually starts to happen. And you went from a place that was like, mediocre, not working. You reevaluated, you questioned the idea of maybe closing. You decided to open and you made a very good choice. And now you're blowing up and a ton of people with you, not only under you, but people with you are flourishing. That's a win.
It's kind of shocking to me that, you know, nothing against the SCA Expo, please. And this is kind of like something we talked about off camera, but you know, to go to SCA Expo in Chicago or New York or wherever it's happening next, it's, you know, you got to pay for your flight. You got to pay for, you know, you have to eat every single day. You have to pay for Airbnb, hotel, and all this stuff, and pay for the entrance to SCA. And if you're paying for, you know, some class, then you're paying extra for that. And all these things stack up, and then all of a sudden you bring on, you know, as a cafe owner, your main manager, and you pay for all their stuff. All of a sudden, these prices rack up, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be doing that. SCA is a great opportunity to network and to grow and to just learn and all this stuff. It's awesome. But it's like, realistically speaking, you just going to like a really great business workshop, like a really excellent one that can help solve the problems that make you miserable right now would be way more beneficial than making that Instagram story that says, hey, I'm at SCA Expo 2024.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also know, like, again, like, part of this conversation is that's not always the case.
Right.
But just know, if you're listening to this, you could be just like one meeting from somebody or hearing one thing that might change everything about how you're enjoying running your business or how you're not. The difference between saying, I'm going to hang up the coat or throw up the towel or whatever they say, and not doing that.
Right.
Like, you're literally one thing away, and maybe going to SCA Expo is not that valuable.
Yeah.
Like, realistically speaking. And so, I don't know. Yeah.
No, you just added some sriracha to this podcast, dude. Like, you sprinkled it, man. That went hard. I mean, for real. Like, that's a very practical, like, in the scope of this conversation, like, we can be very philosophical and very abstract, but you literally just said, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
And that's the point. That's why I hope whoever's listening and everyone who's listening to this podcast, whether you own a business or not, like, those, the reevaluating questions about whether it's your career, whether you're a barista, whether, I don't know, like, you opened a roasting company, like, these reevaluating questions have to meet, the rubber has to meet the road on them. Stop leaving things so abstract and open. Like, let's say, like, okay, where are you making decisions that are not beneficial? One, to your business, to you, because you are running your business. And what are you going to do about those? Don't go to SCA, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't, I mean, correct me, maybe I'm wrong on this, but you don't need to go to Origin to take more photos.
Yeah. 100%.
That's also spicy. Like, you don't.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, awesome, your roastery is like 100% like using a Loring that is not sending any bad stuff into the air, but then you're getting on an airplane for like four photos.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
You know, and you spent thousands of dollars. Like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that we need to reevaluate. And I'm not against Origin trips. We do them. We love them. I think they're an important aspect of relationship building with coffee producers, and they're also important to take maybe some of your team on there. They're inspiring. There's a lot of good things, but I'm saying, if your business is not operating adequately, your margins are poor, and you're choosing to go on an Origin trip rather than actually fixing an infrastructure problem or finding help, I don't think that's the best move.
That's very forthright right there. And I wasn't really expecting this podcast to go there, to be like, yo, you probably should not. But yeah, that's very practical, very straightforward. And that's stuff that you should be reevaluating. Reevaluating, is it worth paying this money to go to Origin? I get it. You love farmers and producers and you want sustainability, ethical practice, all this stuff, but fix what's under the hood, fix what's happening at home, and then maybe you can start investing more outside of that. Because if you don't fix what's happening at home, then I mean, who cares if you, who you visited and which hands you shook and what coffee you sourced? I mean, you know, like,
I'm gonna get even more spicy. Like, if you end up closing your business because you went on a couple extra Origin trips, you're not supporting a farmer because now you're not buying coffee from them.
Oh, man.
Even if you're paying X amount over the C market.
That is very spot on. That is uncomfortably spot on because, it's stuff that we don't really hear very often. Oh, gosh, man.
We took it there.
Yeah, that is... That's just left me kind of like, frick. I literally wish we had more people that would just say that, you know. And that's with everything. Maybe you don't need to buy more gear for your cafe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe you don't need to do this. Like, anyways, but that all being said is A, if you're not enjoying running your coffee business, your coffee operation, whatever it is, or you're not enjoying being a barista or whatever it is, wherever you are at, you really actually, it's coming down to two things. So you need to be really honest with yourself, really introspective, self-aware. Self-awareness is massive. I mean, not just as an owner, but just everywhere.
Right.
It's going to help you a lot if you're self-aware. And then realizing at the end of the day, you have two things. You either solve it, figure it out, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or B, yeah. you realize, again, self-awareness, I actually would much rather be in a completely different industry, mm-hmm. in a completely different part of coffee, and realizing you should go do that instead of doing right. what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you have the freedom to do that. Like, do it. That's probably going to be better for your friends. That's probably going to yes. be better for all of your relationships in your life.
Yes.
That's going to be better for your coworkers. It's just going to be good.
And I think going a step just further with that is, if you look at life as like a progression of growth, a progression of you moving, not necessarily that you're taking steps back or forward, or like, it's not like you're, you know, you shut down your business and you're like, dang, that was a failure. Mm-hmm. I wasted all those years. It's like, no. It's all just a general progression, and you're just growing and you're learning new skills and you're all this stuff. It's okay. Like, the things that you learned running that business that you shut down, you'll take with you into your next for coffee sure. job. And that's okay. That's
totally fine. Yeah. As long as you stay open and have a quote unquote teachable perspective, teachable mm-hmm. mindset, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap. Also, it should be a wrap because the battery's blinking. Oh, so
yeah.
We should.
Yeah. The cameras
reflect what's good really quick.
Yes, indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. The cameras are dying, and I think that's a wrap to this conversation. And remember, as we always say, reflect what's good.